You're listening to Lambs Media, sponsored by OnlySuperNews.com. Lambs Media is proudly sponsored by OnlySuperNews.com, news to make you feel good.
Hello, good evening, and a warm welcome to week 6, I believe, of our weekly quarantine podcasts. Had a few issues with posting to Facebook this evening, therefore a little bit rushed on coming onto air, but a very good evening. I am your host, Harry Hanslow. Hope everyone can hear me okay. The idea behind these podcasts is to bring new content, including interviews, questions to the fans, and to raise awareness of the competitions, challenges, and content which can be found over this period. On today's episode, we'll hear from ex-striker Danny Newton, a discussion about the null and void season, along with interviews from current player Jimmy Fry. And also we speak to Head of Medical, Manzu Lincain. As always, throughout the show, make sure you're active in the chat. And if appropriate, we'll give you a shout out. I can see some messages coming through already. Very good evening to you all. A quick shout out to Oliver Sult. I've had a message from his. I've had a message from someone saying that he listens in every week. Thank you for your support. Also in the chat, we've got Stuart Jones, Jacob Rowley, Brian Hanslow, Andy Farrington, Sarah Henwood. Hi, Josh and Sarah, Matthew Hilton, Emma Whitehouse, and Andy Jones and Kev Clark, all in the chat. First of all, tonight I'm just going to go through the different bits and bobs which are currently going on, which you can get involved in. First of all, as always, is the our daily on this day section. We're trying to keep that up. Because it's now hit sort of the off season, we're trying to keep that up as much as we can. Also on Twitter, you may have noticed we've been hosting the Greatest Manager competition. We've now completed the first round of that, and the second round starts tomorrow morning on Twitter. We have week 9 of our quarantine quiz. I'll post the link for that shortly. You can also watch our documentary over on our YouTube channel. You may have also seen that we've introduced our own TikTok account now. So if you're on TikTok, be sure to give us a follow. It's at Tamworth FC Official on TikTok. Just had a message to turn up the audio. I hope you can hear me a little bit better now. Also on our YouTube channel on Saturday, we streamed the first of our live games from the past, starting with the FA Vars final. Tomorrow night, we'll be streaming the FA Vars replay on the channel in full from 7 o'clock. And then on Saturday at 3 p.m, we'll be continuing streaming some of our old games. We have Tamworth FC versus Kidsgrove Athletic from earlier in the season in one of the cups, with full commentary on that game as well as all the footage from 3 p.m. on Saturday. So plenty to be getting on with in the coming weeks, as well as tuning into this podcast at 8 p.m. on a Tuesday night. You can also catch up on any previous episodes you may have missed out on through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts by searching Lambs Media. We start this evening with continuing our series of Tamworth FC legends. So far we've heard from the H-Bombers, Mark Hallam and Warren Houghton, along with James Belshaw last week. But this week, Lambs Media's Kev Clark had the chance to chat with ex-striker Danny Newton about his time before and after and during Tamworth FC.
Hi Danny, hope you're well and your family are well at this testing time, and thank you very much for joining me. We'll talk about your time at Tamworth in a minute, but first of all, tell us a bit about your career before you actually joined Tamworth.
I started, obviously, started playing football from, I think I was like 4 years old. I was at a club and involved with them until I was 16 years old. And then obviously started to get into men's football, played under 18s and then playing men's football on the Saturday. And then I signed for Hinckley United at 17 and went into their reserve squad, which played, I think it was three or four leagues below their first team. And when I scored, I think I scored 10 goals in 9 games for their reserve squad, and they sent me training with the first team, and then I never looked back. So I was playing Conference North from the age of 17, trying to break into the first team. I spent 2.5 years at Hinckley before they had a lot of financial trouble. And basically I was on contract, but because they weren't paying the wages, I was allowed to leave. So I ended up signing for Nuneaton when they'd just been promoted to the Conference. Didn't really work out there at Nuneaton. They had their squad from the year before, which had just won promotion, which it was kind of like it didn't really get many opportunities. So I ended up not enjoying myself, being sent out on loan quite a few times. And then ended up signing for Barwell the next season. I ended up scoring quite a lot of goals there as well, scoring pretty much every game. And then signed for Brackley in the Conference North again, because I wanted to obviously prove that I could play at the Conference North. So I jumped up again from Barwell. And then again, didn't work out, got another knockback, when wasn't really playing, wasn't in the squad, never got any opportunities to play. Then ended up reviving my career at Leamington. The manager had been trying to sign me for years, Paul Holloman, and he basically told me to come and play and enjoy myself, and that's exactly what I did. Went there for the, I think it was the last 2 or 3 months of the season, ended up finishing the season top scorer. And then started the next season, and he moved me from up front to left wing, which I was a bit frustrated with, but I was playing every game and I was still enjoying it, but obviously weren't scoring as much. And then halfway through the season, stuck me up front again, and I was scoring every game again. So, yeah, and then unfortunately, Leamington got relegated. So that's how the move to Tamworth came about. Got the phone call from Andy Morell in the summer, and I was excited to move there.
Yeah, you were obviously in Andy Morell and Mike Fowler's thoughts with 26 goals in 54 games for Leamington. And you moved to Tamworth in 2015, went on to make 75 appearances and scored 38 goals, which is 1 in 2. Yeah. How do you look back on your time at Tamworth?
I don't know whether the fans thought this or what, but I think in my first season, I was so frustrated. We were trying to find the best team and what worked best, but I was stuck out on the left wing pretty much most of the season. And the first, I think my first goal was probably 12 games in, which for me is a long time to go without a goal. And then I ended up getting put up front. I think we played Lowestoft away, and I ended up scoring 2 in the first half. And then just my luck, someone landed on my ankle at the end of the first half and heard a big crack, tried to carry on playing, realised something wasn't right, got taken off just to be safe. And then I ended up playing the next game because I'd scored two playing up front. They stuck me up front again. And I ended up scoring, but my ankle was strapped up, so I couldn't feel it. And I was struggling to run on it. I was struggling to kick the ball, all of that. So, and realised after the game that I needed to go for a scan. Had a scan and realised I had really bad tears in my ligaments in my ankle. So I'd been playing through it for 2 weeks, but it knocked me out for, I think I was out for 3 months in my first season. So I was so frustrated. It's just kind of a big dent in where I wanted to go, kind of thing. I knew I had it in me to score a lot of goals. And then obviously my first game back, came on for 10 minutes and scored an equaliser. And then the game after that, I started and ended up scoring 4 against Stalybridge away. So it was, I thought, right, we can kick on again. And then it kind of just filtered out towards the end of the season after that. So it was a bit frustrating. I think for me, I was, with the injury and stuff, it kind of, and me playing out of position, it was kind of all over the place. But in my second season, I feel like, obviously Andy Morrell knew I was a forward, so I have to play up front down the middle, and it obviously paid off because I think that's where I thrived.
Yeah, and you had a partner up front as well, didn't you, in Ross?
Yeah.
So that really helped because he won an awful lot of flick-ons, very good header of the ball, and as you said, that second season really worked out.
I love playing. Ross though was a joy to play with, honestly. I knew exactly when he was going to win his headers. I knew 9 times out of 10 where it'd be going. So everything just worked really well. He's a great lad as well. So it
absolutely.
Yeah, it was good to play with Ross.
Now, what would you say with looking back, were your best memory? Your best memory of playing at Tamworth, but also your worst memory of playing at Tamworth as well?
I think my worst memory is probably I think we played Corby away. I don't know. I think it was my first season. And we played Corby away. And before the game, I was struggling. I think it was, I was struggling with a niggle. And I was on the physio bed. And the intern physio who was helping out leant on the shower. And bearing in mind it's like -2 outside, and he soaked me, absolutely covered me in the shower, so I was dripping wet. And I ended up playing the game left mid, and I had it was one of my worst games I've ever played. I was freezing cold, soaking wet, and I got dragged off just after half time, and it was just I thought there was no way back from that. That's it. It just got me right, it got me down. My best is probably, it's a tough one. It's either the 4 goals I scored at Stalybridge when I'd just come back from injury, or the 3 goals I scored there the year after to get a hat trick. See, either one of them were both brilliant days.
Good, yeah, and it's they're days like that that stick in the fans' minds as well. So, you know, all this time after, it's great to look back and be reminded of things like that. But it was evident, really, Danny, that you had the quality to play at a higher level when you got a run of games. We saw that with the way that you played and earned the nickname the Wasp, of course. And the goal return was fantastic. And you got that move to Stevenage Borough. And your first season, you bagged 16 goals and you were voted player of the season. What was that first season like for you, Danny, being a professional footballer?
It was open my eyes massively to what being a professional footballer was. I didn't, obviously everyone guesses and thinks they know what a professional footballer does, but until you're actually in it, you'll never realise I loved it. I loved going in. I wasn't going to work and working in a factory, doing what I was doing, then playing football on top. I was just solely focusing on getting better at being football, playing football and being a footballer. So I really enjoyed it. We started the season so well as a team, and me personally, I was scoring pretty much every game. And then we kind of hit like a dip in form. So it'd gone from everything being all rosy and everything going so well to obviously realising how much it means to people going into work every day. People are moping around, people are getting on at each other. It's just, you see a different side to it, but everyone's so passionate about, because it's that everyone's livelihood. So it's massive difference to non-league, where you get a lot of lads just doing it for the fun of it, and obviously lads take it serious, but there's not that same edge.
Now, it's been a tough time since then, really, hasn't it, Danny? And you've kind of dropped off the radar a little bit, I should say, and you've had problems with injuries mounting up, particularly with the ankle injury. And also, I believe you've got a son now, and he was born prematurely as well, which must have been quite a worry and a stress.
Yeah. I feel like I've had all the worst luck in the world in the last couple of years, to be honest. The first year, I couldn't have seen it go any better. To be honest, I was towards the end of the first year, I was a bit frustrated. I didn't get a few more to get me to the 20 goals, because I thought I was more than capable of doing it. But I'd had a manager change halfway through the season, who I'd been basically playing centre mid and left mid and every other position up front. So it kind of took the goals away from me a little bit, but that's who I am. I'm happy to just play and do my part for the team. But then the second season was probably it's obviously, I would put it up there now as being the worst point in my career. Just in training, I was in a game in training, and a squad player who never played a first team game had been going around for a few weeks, like tramping on players and putting in dirty tackles, and it got to the point I couldn't take anymore. So I've gone in quite hard into the tackle, fair tackle, won the ball. Obviously, he didn't like it. And then out of nowhere, 10 minutes later, I've passed the ball and then just felt a whack on my ankle. He's put his stud straight through my ankle. Tried to carry on playing, realised something was seriously wrong. And then tried to rest it for a few weeks, speaking to the physio. Thought it was just bruising. Wasn't going away. So tried to come back and play on it, thinking it was just bruising. I'll just try and get through it. Ended up playing 3 games with it. Couldn't even run, couldn't kick the ball. I was in a bad way. Asking for a scan. Went for a MRI scan. And it was the MRI scan, the place it was, I'll be honest, it wasn't the best. It took so long to get the results. And when they sent the results over, they didn't really find anything. Found things that now I know wasn't the problem. And then I was sent to a surgeon who, he's never worked on a professional footballer. So me not being to a surgeon before, I didn't know this was the case. So I've had a surgeon look at me, and he literally, his first thought was, I know what I'll do. I'm injected. He didn't even look at the scans, just injected my ankle to mask the pain. I've then gone back into training thinking that's the problem sorted. And it wasn't, basically. It was all it was doing was I could run fine with no pain, which was better than before. But as soon as I kicked the ball, it felt like my foot was going to fall off. So I was in bits. I was all over the place. I was playing to nowhere near what I could play. Just being asked to play every week, knowing I was struggling, by the manager at the time, because he thought he could get the best out of me and I could help the team. So even if I couldn't kick the ball. So it was kind of frustrating for me at the same time, but I just wanted to play. I wanted to play, and hoping it would just get better on its own, hoping it'd wear off, the injection would kick in, and lasted 3 months playing, nowhere near what I could. And then realised I have to get something sorted. So I ended up going back to the surgeon who injected it, and he performed an operation that he thought was the problem. Took out some bone spurs of my ankle and basically said that'd be it. So he said I'd be out for, I think he said 8 to 10 weeks. So I think there was 14 weeks of the season left. So in my head, how I am, I was thinking, right, I can get back towards the end of the season. The physio worked really hard with me at the time. He was telling me it's all fine, the swelling will go down, such and such. Got me back in 7 weeks, I think it was. I came off the bench and scored after 5 minutes. So that was it. Everyone gets excited thinking, right, he's back. His ankle's fixed. He can go again now. We've got the old Dan back. Played the next game and got one tackle and my ankle just went. I was gone. It was so weak from the operation and it wasn't fixed in the first place. It basically just everything had gone. Ended up having to go for another scan. All my ligaments had stretched. I had a tear in my ankle. So again, got sent back to the same surgeon who injected it again. And then he told me to just let it settle, let it rest, and then by next season I'll be able to play again. So I came back this season, did all of pre-season, felt fit, felt strong. Ankle felt okay, wasn't really feeling much pain, so I thought it had all been sorted. I think we played the last game of pre-season, I started to feel something, I was like, uh-oh, something's not right. And then got to the first game of the season, I was struggling with the pain, and I just thought maybe it's because of all the running and weights, everything I've been doing pre-season, basically telling myself it wasn't a problem. And then I ended up playing, I think, 10 games this season. And then I was just training on a Thursday and I just knew I couldn't even run. It felt like I had a piece of rubber in my foot. Like there was just no strength. There was nothing there. Mm. And then I've been sent to a surgeon this year who's worked on footballers and he's examined it and all of this and realised I'd torn my cartilage in my ankle and it flapped over in itself and it had never been picked up. And they just I've been basically been playing on it and all the ligaments are stretched as well at the same time. So it's that was one of the worst things I've ever heard. So he said you're gonna be out for 4 months at least. So that was my that's my injury, but I'm back fit now. I've been working really hard and then obviously I was ready to play on that Saturday and then they've called it off for COVID-19.
Yeah, roller coaster there.
That's how it's gone. That's how it's gone with the injury. And then on top of that, before all that happened, my son was born 9 weeks premature and he was in hospital for a month. So it was, not the best 2 years, but that's life. Sometimes it's really good and other times it's not.
Yeah, a real mix of emotions there. I mean, obviously, with your son, I mean, you're delighted. You look forward to looking forward towards the birth date, and then all of a sudden it's premature. I mean, having been through that myself, my son was 7 weeks early and spent a month in special baby unit. So, yeah, I know what that's like, and it's a very worrying time. You can't do anything, can you? There's nothing you can do, and it's a curved ball as well because you're not planned for it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was after my first season. I thought, I'll see what happens. There was a lot of interest in me, and I didn't know what was going to happen. I was happy at Stevenage, but if someone higher comes in, I can never say I wouldn't have had my head turned because I want to play as high as possible. But obviously, my son being born early and everything on top, I was kind of like, right now, I don't know what's happening. How long is he going to be in hospital? I've got to be there from the season's just about to start. I was all over the place, to be honest. And then I finally got myself fit. He was fine. He was at hospital. He was settled. He was doing really well. Started playing a few games in last season. Started scoring assists. And then that's when I got whacked on the ankle. And it's been downhill from there ever since, basically. I've just kind of wasted 2 years of my career.
Well, you're 29 now, aren't you, Danny?
Yeah.
So, really, you're very much in the prime of your career. And I think one thing that could be considered a blessing in some ways is that with the lockdown and the cessation of football, it does give your body a chance to recover in some ways. And I know that you've been keeping yourself in good shape as well, but hopefully those injuries will recover. And then when football does resume, in whichever form it does, you'll be raring to go.
Yeah, that's it. Well, to be honest, I was fit and ready to go before it all got called off. But like you say, a bit longer time, it's all going to be even better. And I'm basically raring to go now. So it's only going to put me in good stead for when it does start back up.
Well, it's been absolutely fantastic talking to you. First time personally I've caught up with you since you left Tamworth, and I'm sure a lot of fans will welcome the opportunity to catch your thoughts on this podcast. And all that remains is for me to thank you very, very much for your time and wish you all the very best for the future, Danny.
Over the course of the next few weeks, not only will we be talking to management and players, but we'll also be talking to the people who work behind the scenes for the club. Next up this evening, we're going to be hearing from Manzu, who's arguably one of the club's unsung heroes, often seen dashing across the pitch when one of the players goes down. And the head of medical joins me now. Thanks for joining me then, Manzu. I hope you and your family are well. So you joined the club back in 2016, which I didn't know about until you just informed me. But at the start of this season, you became head of medical. How have you found yourself coming into that role, and how has it been different from working in the other roles that you've previously done at the club?
Hi Harry, hope you're well, hope your family's well, same to the fans as well that are tuning in. To be honest, taking over this year has been quite the experience, because obviously I've been here since 2016 shadowing Kieran, and he led by example and it was very, very high standards. Well, everyone at the club has very high standards, from Mike Fowler coaching the first team. I remember as a student, and Andy Morrell was a manager. Everyone at the club has always had high standards, including the chairman. So it's been quite a challenge, you know, stepping up to the level, but I've relished it, and I like to think I've tried to match it as best as I could.
So before you did come into the first team at the start of this season, what do you want to just go through what you were doing before?
Yeah, in 2016 I was a student getting my placement hours, obviously shadowing Kieran, assistant of the first team. It was my very first ever experience in football, and it was it was something else. I remember literally being a fresh-faced student stepping into the changing rooms, and all the players are looking at me like, who the hell is this guy? I think one thing you find as a student, players are reluctant to sort of just hop on the bed and receive treatment unless they know you've got your wits about you and you're good at what you do. So the very first player I ever treated was actually Stephen Morley. He was like, I'll hop on. I think from the other players seeing what I was like to work with, they opened up more to me, and from there it was just plain sailing. And just cruised through my placement hours. Then the year after that, I was put in charge of the under-21s, working with Lee Friars, Adam Joyce, Raj, the coach, Rigger for a little bit, and, oh my God, I can't believe I forgot his name. Timmins, the coach as well. And with the 21s, obviously there was a few players from the academy that stepped up into the 21s, and we had some very talented youngsters come in from other clubs like Mansfield, etc. Just Drew Ricketts, who made an appearance for the first team, Charlie Shaw, who's still with the first team at the moment, quite a lot of talented players. Then the year after that, I went back to assisting Kieran with the first team, and then this year I've ended up taking over.
So what would you have said the best and worst things are about the job then?
I think One of the best things I've realised is that you actually get to sort of look behind the curtains and see what football's actually about. It's one thing to be a fan and go to a football game and watch a match, but it's another thing to see the inner workings. You know, even with football, there is a bit of logistics that goes into it, and there's a lot of planning. Like, one thing that's absolutely amazing this season is seeing the management team and their, like, meticulous detail to every single little thing. Obviously, I know fans have seen Andy bring his tactics board out to matches, but if you look at other teams in our league, most of them don't even pay attention to that sort of thing. You know, Smudge, absolute great man manager. I think the other one that people don't really talk about much is Tom. Tom is very good at admin. He's on top of everything. So it's just a bit of an eye-opener, really, and especially to see what the players are like as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's some players that fans might see on pitch do certain things and like, oh, why is he doing that? But they, when you see them step off the pitch, you're a completely different person. You know, like someone like 40. 40 is absolutely passionate. He's similar to myself, heart on the sleeve. He'll let you know what he's thinking at all times.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't believe, like, the stuff he does outside of Tamworth. He's absolutely great with kids, doing his charity work, his Foundations for the Future, working with school children, helping them to, you know, find better opportunities and that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to say, I think we're going to try and get 40 on in the next couple of weeks, because he's doing, especially at the minute during everything what's going on, he's certainly keeping busy and doing things for the community, which is really great to see in the local area.
Yeah, even players like Jimmy as well, because Jimmy works in the community as well. Bez, another one. Like, the first time I ever heard Bez say, like, oh yeah, I do coaching, it's like, you. Bez is absolutely great with kids. I couldn't believe it at first. We've got like so many just like hidden gems in the team that do so many great things that you wouldn't think really.
Yeah,
they're such a great bunch, all of them.
No, it's good. It's good to hear. So, obviously, you've been at 4 years now at the club. How do you feel that working at Tamworth FC has sort of changed you as a person and sort of helped you develop your skills?
Changing me as a person, I think working at Tamworth FC, obviously, as I alluded to before, the high standards, really. I think before growing up, I was a little bit carefree, as it were.
Yeah.
And to come into this, it's pretty much high performance environment, because one thing I've noticed with Tamworth FC, is even at our level, is that we perform above and beyond for the resources that we've got. We make everything work for us.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to fitness, performance, the mental side of it, everything else, we always go above and beyond. So I think it's helped me to step up my performances a little bit. But at the same time, working at Tamworth FC has helped me to develop quite a lot, because it helped me to get the opportunity to work with other teams. So in 2017/18, I somehow got the opportunity to work with the England men's lacrosse team.
Oh, wow.
They took me along to the World Games in Netanya, Israel in 2018, and that was literally quite an experience, obviously being an international tournament.
Yeah.
And obviously England are in the blue division, so the top division, so you're playing against teams like America, Canada, Australia, Japan, and the Iroquois Nation, which are the Native Americans of the Americas. So that was quite a mind-blowing experience, and I honestly feel if I hadn't have gained my experience in development at Tamworth, I wouldn't have been able to step up to that sort of opportunity.
Yeah. No, it's great to hear. So this season now, you are obviously head of medical. It's not just the first team that you kept busy doing that with, is it?
No. I was also assisting with the Scholars Games for providing their pitch side sort of first aid on their game days. And also, I'd sort of volunteered myself to help out with the women's team.
Yeah.
Because I've never actually worked with a women's team before. I've worked with female clients in my private practice and my friend.
Yeah.
But never actually worked as part of the women's team. So at the start of the season, I introduced myself to Ryan and Danny.
Yeah.
And they were just like so friendly. They were just like, if we ever need you, we'll call on you. We don't mind you coming out to help. And I was like, vice versa.
Yeah.
And ever since, we just got along like a house on fire, and it's been such a blast. Because, like, you'll have the Saturday with the first team, you know, the highs, the lows, the intensity and that, and then you come back again on the Sunday, and it just doesn't feel like work.
Yeah.
Really, it's just so positive and so energetic.
Yeah.
Not that the first team isn't positive and energetic as well. I think, like, most people in my position, sometimes you'll find they'll work on the Saturday and they'll just want Sunday for themselves. But yeah. I honestly don't mind being along with the ladies team on the Sundays, because it's just such a chilling environment.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good that you've, you know, put yourself out there and helping out with the ladies team, and most importantly, enjoying it. Now, just to finish on then, this season, you know, it's been a great season across the club, you know, ladies team, the under-21s development team and the first team. As part of the first team management as well, do you feel that the FA and the Southern League have maybe made the call too early on the decision to sort of write off all the leagues as null and void?
From a health standpoint, put on my my old BTEC National Diploma in Science and Industrial Lab Techniques here, I want to say they're a bit slow to suspend the league due to the health concerns.
Interesting.
Because obviously you have to look at it like the majority of the population in Tamworth that come to our games are not elderly, but of an older sort.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're more at risk than anyone else.
Mm.
And when you look at the numbers of the infected cases and deaths, sorry to be a bit morbid, but 80,000 people have died so far from this virus.
Mm.
The population of Tamworth is 80,000.
Yeah.
So that puts things into perspective. But with that being said, when it comes to the league, I feel the FA, they were more focused on the Premier League at the top tier leagues and forgot about the lower leagues.
Yeah.
Because grassroots football is so important to the whole of the football pyramid. If you have no grassroots, how are your children going to develop? Yes, some might go to academies, but what happens if they don't quite make it at that academy? Should they just give up on that dream? Look at players like Callum Wilson, Ashley Williams. You know, most of these players have played at non-league clubs, which is grassroots at the end of the day. So the FA pretty much just almost forgotten about us and said, that's it. All your hard work and efforts, just null and void.
Yeah.
But because of the Premier League and all of the financial backing, we're actually going to wait and maybe push to get that completed.
Yeah.
It's like, what, of course?
Yeah.
You know, there's teams around us, left, right and centre, that are folding.
Mm.
It's a bit unfortunate.
It's sort of like double standards. It's all right for the Premier League to carry on with their games and, you know, keep their league going, but then further down, it's just written off as null and void. It's, I think any fan is finding it hard because, you know, we've tried so hard all season and we've had so many good memories, and then for them now to just count towards nothing, it's hard.
It is. I mean, look at some of the clubs that have been around for ages. I mean, our club was founded in 1933, coming up close to 90 years, pushing for 100.
Yeah.
But there's other clubs that are as old, if not older, that are pretty much looking at folding. Mm. And that's history that's just gone.
Yeah.
That continuation of a legacy passed down through generations, just gone.
Mm.
And it's sad.
Yeah,
it's sad that the FA aren't really stepping in to help those clubs out.
Yeah. Now, just to finish on then, Manzu, is there anything else you would like to add?
Just that I hope that the fans are all, you know, staying safe, staying hydrated. That's one of the main things as well. Practicing social distancing. I know some people might think that, you know, it's not a big deal. You'll catch this. You'll stay at home for 14 days and you'll be fine. But at the end of the day, there are some cases where you can develop some long-lasting issues after contracting the virus. And sometimes you have to look at the bigger picture. So just stay safe, everybody.
Well, thank you for taking the time out of your day to come on and talk to us, Manzu. It's really appreciated.
No worries, thank you.
That was Manzu Lincane there, the head of medical at Tamworth FC. And next week, we will hear from Hannah Freeman, the analyst for the first team, on all the work that she does. I know Manzu touched on it slightly during that interview, but yeah, I think there's a lot that people don't realise that she does, so it'll be interesting to hear that. Now, football has returned to Germany this week. The Bundesliga resumed with 9 different games taking place over the weekend. Only 300 people were allowed into the stadiums, with masks being worn by all but non-playing staff. temperature checks being carried out while entering and exiting the stadium. And the league have actually said that if any fans turn up or gather outside the stadiums, then the games would be abandoned. Also, substitutes and goal celebrations were all carried out at a social distance. And I'm sure many of you have probably seen the images online of the goal celebrations all at a distance and people sat waiting to come on the pitch at a social distance as well. We heard Manzu's views on the FA and Southern League's decision into making the call about null and void of the season. We'll also hear about how player Jimmy Fry feels about that. But with the Premier League looking to maybe take a similar approach to Germany to resume games, what about the leagues between us and the Premier League? At the minute, the club is holding back against any challenges to the FA's decision, as the steps above may follow suit to us. Therefore, it would be pointless. However, the EFL have said that League 2 could be decided on a unweighted points per game system this week. And it's thought that the National and the National League North and South will also follow suit, which will leave a very, very unfair way of resolving the situation, in my opinion, for Tamworth. And we'll have much more on that in the coming weeks. Revealed the winner of the 2019-20 goal of the season. And the winner of that competition was Jimmy Fry, who joins us now. First of all, Jimmy, I hope you and your family are safe and well during this period. But your first season at Tamworth, and you've won the goal of the season, which with a goal that maybe took a slight deflection. Your thoughts on winning the competition?
I'd like to put that down to the angle of the camera. The camera angle makes it look a little bit worse than what it was. I was quite surprised, to say the least. I think it was there was a tweet that we saw where I was in second place. I think Clem was leading. And I thought it was a joke. I thought someone was winding me up a little bit. And then, of course, the next day, somehow, I've ended up winning the whole thing. So, yeah, I'm delighted. Why wouldn't I be delighted?
I've seen some bits and bobs online. What do your teammates think about the victory?
Some think it's the best goal that's ever been scored at the club. So mixed opinion, if I'm being totally honest. But no, it's brought a few smiles, a few giggles within our group chats and whatnot, yeah. Which I think it's good for everyone, isn't it? So a mixed bag.
Did you see who was up for a winning?
I remember initially it was Clem against in the cup. Who that was against. Barwell. Then there was Bez's free kick on the first day of the season.
Yeah.
And then I think was it Bilal?
Bilal as well. Yeah, he was in Bilal the
against Hensford.
Yeah.
So yeah, some pretty all right strikes in there, I suppose. But,
would you have picked yours? Personally, or
I would have picked mine, definitely. Yeah.
Fair enough. So, as I said, it's your first season at Tamworth, and we've seen some amazing moments. What would you pick out as your sort of favourite moments across the last season?
I've got two. I've definitely got two. The first one's the obvious one is the Hereford replay. I suppose the whole tie really, but you know, to get a draw like Hereford at home and sort of go over two full games, keeping two clean sheets and in extra time and all the rest of it, and then to win on penalties at the end, you know, with all their fans behind the goal, you know, that's their main end sort of thing. That's the obvious highlight of the season, I think, for most people at the club, fans, players, staff, everyone.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever forget that. I don't think I'll ever forget that moment that you scored you scored the penalty, and it was just
That's probably a highlight. One of my highlights for sure. The other one's the Royston game at home. Purely because we didn't start very well in terms of results or how we wanted to. And then we picked up and we sort of almost had it our own way all the way up till January time. And then we lost three on the bounce, didn't we? We lost, was it Bromsgrove, Leeston and Peterborough? You know, people on the outside are sort of looking at us thinking the wheels have come off and all the rest of it. And then we come up against Royston, who are flying in the FA Trophy. They're flying in the league. They're looking like, you know, they're going to be real, real challengers. And I thought the game, the way that we approached the game, the way that we performed on the night, the game itself, you know, in terms of the standard of the whole game, was top draw. And again, we're in a place where we weren't in a good place at that point, which I always look for. It's easy to do well when you've been, you know, beating teams 2-3, 4-0.
You've got the momentum.
You've got momentum. Everyone's behind you. But to have the fans behind us as we did, to go into the game with the mentality that we had and come away with a 2-0 win, which really was pretty comfortable, as comfortable as you're going to get, that was another massive, massive moment for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to get a player's, the first player we've had on so far, but you must feel pretty disappointed that all this work from the last season is going to be just going towards nothing now. Your thoughts on the null and void situation?
Yeah, it was. There's been a lot of time between now and when it was first announced. You know, when it first came out, it was horrible because the amount of time and effort that everybody at the football club puts in over the course of the season to put in the work to have some potential reward from all that work. You know, we're top of the league going into the last 10 games of the season. That's exactly where you want to be, isn't it? And then to sort of have that taken away. I mean, so, you know, nobody would have been prepared for the circumstances that we're in now. But in terms of the decision making, I can't. I mean, I've got my head around it now, as you have to, but I still can't quite understand how the decision, you know, came about, shall we say. Because the amount of hours that you put in, you know, even as a non-league player, you know, you go to work in the day, you go to training in the evening, you give up your half your weekend, you know, and all that's on top of the work that you do full time. So the commitment's massive, which was the saddest part for me.
Yeah, no, it's I think at first it's hard to take, but you know, we've adjusted and hopefully we can see something potentially being overturned, but we should just have to see what happens over the coming months ahead.
I agree. As I say, initially it was not a nice feeling, whereas now, you know, like anything, you just got to get on with it, haven't you? We players, you know, we can't do anything about it. We're not part of the decision making process. Make of that what you will, but we just got to get on with it.
Yeah, just before we finish up, then, is there anything you wanted to just sort of say to the fans and anyone listening in?
Just to make, you know, stay safe. I hope that everybody's safe and will continue to be safe. And, you know, we as players will be, you know, can't wait to get back out on the pitch and start performing again. And hopefully, I suppose, try and finish the job from this season. You know, when everything's safe and well, we'll see everyone back down at the LAN.
That's great to hear. Thank you for taking the time to speak to me. Jimmy, it's been a pleasure. And once again, a big thank you to Jimmy Fry for taking the time out to speak to us for tonight's show. Unfortunately, we are coming to the end of this evening's show. I hope everyone's listening has enjoyed the 6 of our weekly podcasts. Please feel free to share this with friends, family and anyone else who'd be interested or related to Tamworth Football Club. On next week's show, we're hoping to hear from more backroom staff, more players and another ex-Tamworth player on their time at the club, along with more info on a commentary competition that we are hoping to launch. Don't forget to tune into our replays on YouTube tomorrow night. Thank you very much for listening. On behalf of everyone at Tamworth FC, stay safe, stay alert, control the virus and save lives.